There are three things that I want to do with you over the next 20 minutes or so, 25 minutes. The first is set the context for today. The second is reflect with you on the Psalms themselves. And then we're going to start reading and begin our journey through these wonderful songs. First of all, to set the context. So if you are a reader, or if you are here with a reader, you'll come to my right just before you begin, and you will come up, you'll be instructed here by one of the leaders of each of our watches or each of our sessions. They'll tell you what to do, they'll explain what to do. If you need the text of the psalm, it's here. This Bible will remain here. If you're bringing your own Bible, no problem at all. And my colleagues will explain exactly what you have to do. We are aiming to have communion just before 8 o'clock tonight as the pinnacle of our worship. So we will finish reading the Psalms around 7:15, and then we will move into a time of response and of worship. And across each of the parts of today, many of you will know that there are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. So we have created 22 Selah moments. Selah is a word in the Psalms that invites us to pause and to reflect and to think and to stop and just to be still. So in those Selah moments, we will often have an instrumentalist. We might have a dancer, I think. We have a cellist that is coming a little later on. We have a clarinetist that is going to be here. We have a dancer that will be coming to express something of the love and the beauty of God. And there are also at the back of the auditorium here two areas covered by blue curtains. If you need a moment on your own, they are our Selah spaces. So you can just go in there and sit on your own. Now, you'll still hear all the noise out here and the joy and the celebration, but that is a bit like life. Selah very rarely happens where there is absolutely no other noise going on. Instead, God invites us sometimes just to pause in the midst of everything else. Susanna Wesley, the famous wife of John Wesley, used to draw her pinafore over her head with her 12 children running around in the kitchen and say, "When I draw this pinafore over my head, this is me telling you, leave me alone. I'm spending a few minutes with Jesus." So these Selah corners are for that. You can also find space outside. You can find space downstairs. Take your time. Don't rush. Leave when you have to. Stay as long as you can. Come back if you are able. But we pray that across today, you will hear the voices of generations. You'll hear the voices of men and of women. And you will be reminded of God's constant goodness and grace, even when life feels uncertain. Does that make sense? Great. I wonder if you have ever felt as if you were going to burst with joy. Or maybe you have felt as if there were no words that could express the inconsolable pain and uncertainty that you were feeling, the sorrow and the loss. Both of those emotions are expressed in the Psalms. They are God's gift to us. They are the hymn book of ancient Israel. When you cannot find the words, the Psalms prove that you are not alone. When you can't articulate how you are feeling, when you are looking for a way of expressing something to God that you think perhaps the church does not allow you to express, the Psalms will help you. And right in the middle of this term, which has as its theme for us here at Kensington Temple, devotion and determination, a life of service that flows from a life of worship, we made the decision that we wanted to run this, I don't even want to call it event. We wanted to curate and create this space for us to encounter God through this ancient book of song and poetry and honesty. The core theme of what we are doing today is that wherever you are, whatever is going on in your life, whether you are in a place of lament or in a place of praise, there is a space in God's word for you. There are words that will help you. There are prayers that will echo what you are going through. There are songs and poems for you. You are permissioned by Almighty God not to bring the version of yourself that you think other people want, not to bring the version of your life that you think God demands, but to bring you, your actual life, your actual circumstances, your actual challenges, the very things that you are facing. You will find across these 150 songs space and moments that you will identify with. Let me give you three simple examples. The honesty of lament. Listen to the opening words of Psalm 13. How long, O Lord? Will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I bear pain in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all day long? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Four times. How long? How long? How long? How long? The Bible does not sugarcoat our difficulties. It doesn't invite us to pretend that they are not there. That is Christian scientism. That is not Christian faith. The church or the people that say that they're not allowed to be honest with God have not read this book. It invites us to pour out our hearts before him, to be honest and vulnerable and open with him. Many prayers open with cries of anguish and of pain and despair and confusion. The psalmists are brutally honest about God and not understanding his ways and not understanding why he hasn't judged the wicked, not understanding why he hasn't answered their prayers. And contrary to what some people may have told you, not all psalms end in trust. There are two that end in uncertainty. One speaks about its pain, and the other speaks about being alone and forsaken. You will read them and hear them today. We have a Selah moment after each one. The Psalms do not pretend that we have to be something else. They invite us into brutal honesty about our struggles, about our losses, about our feelings, and about our abandonment. This kind of unfiltered prayer is not forbidden in the Christian tradition. It's invited. You are invited to bring your honesty to God. Invited to lay your heart before him. Lament is not an absence of faith. Lament is an act of faith. To come before God and say, I don't understand, I don't know what's going on, but I am here, is perhaps one of the greatest acts of faith of a human person. So as we read through them today, I pray that you might be touched by those areas. Secondly, the Psalms bring to us a foundation of faith. Somehow, in lament, there is a pivot point in each of our lives where we can move from declarations of despair to declarations of trust. Even in the darkest moments, God is present. And the Psalms remind us of that. Listen again to verse 13, Psalm 13. Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep the sleep of death. And my enemy will say, I have prevailed. My foes will rejoice because I am shaken. But I trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. There is a moment in our lives where God can release in us again the gift of faith, and we can turn to him and cry out. And across the Psalms, there is evidence of a Savior that is promised, a Messiah who will come. These words are full of pointing to Jesus, the one who will carry our pain, understand our sorrow, take away all of our uncertainty, and one day we will not even require faith because we will see him face to face. And thirdly, within the Psalms, there is the practice of praise. A thankful heart, as one of the kids' songs that I heard a few years ago went, is a happy heart. There is joy and gratitude. There is a moment in the Psalms where there is a crescendo of praise so often. In fact, this whole book or this whole collection of poems written over 1,000 years by different people in different contexts ends with a shout of praise, a cry of thanksgiving. I actually have to think, and I'm not being biased, but I think that probably KT is, if not the best, certainly one of the best churches that I've seen at praising God. I stood here this morning and watched two of my colleagues dancing, and on this side, some people dancing and people in the middle trying to dance. I was here last night for our Nigerian Independence Night, and I rejoiced as I watched people dancing. When I was here for our Filipino night, they danced. This is a church that knows how to give thanks to God. And as I was looking at some of the people that were dancing and rejoicing in the presence of God this morning, I thought to myself, if other people came in and looked, they thought their lives must be perfect. But I know they're not. I see people dancing and rejoicing every week here whose hearts are broken, whose lives have been devastated by pain and sorrow and uncertainty. They are making a choice. They are stepping in faith into gratitude. Somehow, as we read these words, we are lifted into a different place. They speak to the human condition like no other words speak. They open our hearts like nothing else can, because they are divinely inspired, because they capture the human condition with such perfection and beauty, and yet they are a gift to us. My wife was converted when she was 15, just before she was 15. And when she was born again, she went to the only church in the village where she lived. She lived in the very north of Scotland. You could see the Castle of May, the Queen Mother's castle, from where they lived. It wasn't the most populous place on earth. There was nothing there. And she went to a local church, which was a Free Church of Scotland, where the only thing they sang was the Psalms. They didn't sing hymns. They didn't use music. They didn't sing carols or choruses. Their hymn book was the Psalms. And I would often still hear Debbie humming, and it's a psalm that she's singing in her head. How lovely is your dwelling place, O God of hosts to me. The tabernacles of thy peace, how pleasing, Lord, they be. Or this poor man cried and the Lord heard him. Or Psalm 23, these beautiful Scottish Celtic tunes alongside these words. You know them, I'm sure. How lovely is thy dwelling place, O Lord of hosts to me. And I am reminded every time I hear her humming them or singing them of the power of them, of the beauty of them. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the ends of the earth will I cry unto you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me, and a strong tower from mine enemies. When my heart is overwhelmed, Across these words, we find expression for our deepest longings. Every time I conduct a funeral, I will look at the family and I will say, the Lord is your shepherd. You shall not want. He will make you lie down in green pastures. He will lead you by still waters. He will lead you in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even when you pass through the valley of the shadow of death, he will be with you. His rod and his staff will comfort you. He will prepare a table for you in the presence of your enemies. And he will anoint your head with oil. And surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. And you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Across the next 11 hours and 10 minutes, as we read these, as you listen to them, allow them to sink in. I believe that God is giving us a holy 12 hours. That these are moments of encounter and listening. You will discover something of the depths of God's goodness and grace in your life that you may not have remembered or you may never have experienced. For those that have joined us in the last 20 minutes or so, let me say to you what I said to those who were here when we began at 8 a.m. Many of you will have been traveling here at that point. I think it is staggering, beyond our ability to manage, that this one church in London is today reading the Psalms, the hymn book of Israel, as Israel waits on hostages and the remains of hostages to be returned. As they gathered last night in Hostage Square, as Gazans make their way back to Gaza or to the West Bank, as the uncertainty in the Middle East continues to brood over that area, there are lots of people making lots of political statements in this nation. Lots of people shouting and getting angry, but here we are, the people of God, reading the hymn book of Israel and crying out to God for them, for every Gazan child, for every Gazan adult, for every single person around the world who is in pain, and for ourselves. I believe that is a prophetic act, and that God will take what we are doing and use it somehow in embedding his purposes in this world where we find ourselves. As you prepare to read the Psalms, do so prayerfully. Do so intentionally. I'm excited. I'm like a boy in a sweetie shop. I can't wait. But I also want to settle my heart. I want to keep open to what the Holy Spirit has to say to Malcolm Duncan today. Malcolm, the follower of Jesus, Malcolm, the brother, Malcolm, the husband, Malcolm, the father, and Malcolm, the papa. I want to hear what God has to say to Malcolm, the student, to Malcolm, the saint in formation, to Malcolm, who has struggles, and Malcolm, who has prayers, and Malcolm, who has longings. I'm coming not simply as the leader of this house, although that is what I am. I'm coming of a child of God to say, Lord, speak to me today. Deepen my faith today. Still my heart today. So will you come with your lament? Will you come with your praise? Will you come with your prayer? Will you come with your question? Will you come with the real you? Not the pretend version that everybody is so used to. Will you come and honestly open your heart to God? The Psalms give us the words to pray so that we can find our new songs and join the chorus of those who have for thousands of years lifted their voices and their hearts to God. Let everything that breathes praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Would you stand with me as we pray and then as we begin? Almighty God, before whom all hearts are known, and from whom no secrets can be hidden, anoint these next 11 hours. Enable us to speak these words in faith and in honesty. Open our spirits to more than an event or a gathering. Open our spirits to your spirit. Speak into our hearts. And as we articulate all that is contained in this beautiful book of poems and songs, we welcome your work. We speak it into this room, but we speak it into London. We speak them into the United Kingdom. We speak them over the Middle East. We speak these words over the nations of the earth. We stand as watchmen on the tower, taking our place in the calling that you have given to us, London and the world, for Christ. And whilst others would say it is folly, we believe that there is power in your word. And we submit ourselves to it again. And we ask that you would meet with us. In Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. Right across the Psalms, they may be about the human experience. They may reflect our darkest and most difficult moments. One of the verses in the Psalms that has held my life together comes from the Psalm that Solomon shared just before the offering, Psalm 34, verse 18. The Lord is near the brokenhearted, and he is close to those who are crushed in spirit. If that weren't true, I wouldn't be here. And I know many of you feel that, but underneath the human experience, underneath the questioning and the longing and the journeying and the heartbreak and the rejoicing and the celebration, there is a red thread of the love of God shown to us through his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Many of the Psalms are described as messianic. It means they point to the Savior. Psalm 2 reminds us that he will sit on the throne. Psalm 16 reminds us that he will see the vindication of all that he has gone through. Psalm after psalm speaks of his grace and his love and his mercy. Because even though David couldn't see Jesus the way we can see Jesus, he knew that God would keep his promises. Asaph knew that God would keep his promises. Korah knew that God would keep his promises. Solomon knew that God would keep his promises. And I want us to finish our reading of the Psalms by remembering the Savior of the Psalms. The one that has come and sat with us today as we have listened. And sisters and brothers, as the stewards in a moment make communion available to you, I want to make something really clear to you. God told me before I came to this church, and he has told me at every important juncture of leading you, that he requires one task from me above every other task. And it is that the cross will never be dismantled
in Kensington Temple. That there is room for only one hero, and his name is Jesus. And every time we lift his name up, God's Spirit invades us. Every time we honor him, the Spirit moves amongst us. Every time we honor the cross, every time we remember Jesus, he breaks in amongst us. Now, you would think that it was simple. Don't let anything else get in the way of the cross. Don't let anyone else get in the way of Jesus. If you do not yet know Jesus Christ, then now is the time that you could surrender your life to him online and here. We've had 550 people online for a large part of today. 550 access points. That could be 1,000 people. Right now, there are over 300. I don't know what the exact number is. But we have had a high percentage of people with us all day from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. And many of you have stayed all day. And as you receive the bread and the juice, this is the pinnacle of our worship. The reading of 150 Psalms brings us to this point. Just turn these one on. Esteban, turn these on for me. If you do not yet know Jesus, then please don't take the bread. Don't take the juice. But if you know him and love him, you can sit down or you can stand up. It's entirely up to you. We are going to worship in a moment. Then let me say to you that the Savior of the Psalms was broken, pierced, whipped, humiliated, and murdered for you and for me. So we remember this evening his broken body that was given for us. Please take the bread and we will eat together. Psalm 45 speaks of a wedding when the bride will be welcomed by the bridegroom and we will be together with him forever. It speaks of his love. It speaks of his passion for us. It speaks of his commitment to us, of his pursuing us, hunting us down and finding us and loving us. Somebody say amen. Amen. So we remember the blood of the Lord Jesus that was shed for us for the forgiveness of our sins, and we drink together. We will return to high praise in a moment. But now we offer him our heartfelt worship.
Reaching out with all I've got. That's why I'm waiting outside my life, waiting outside my life. Oh, so while I'm here,
yeah.
Give you all the glory. Every shred of it belongs to you. We thank you for your faithfulness and for your mercy. And once again, you have come and you have met with us in power. We don't deserve it, but we thank you for what you are doing in our midst.